Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast for Connecting Faith. And remember, there are even more shows available on our website, myfaithradio.com.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem. And Ryan Thomas with the phones, and Grace Reif back at... Ryan's on the board. That's how it is. Yes, and Grace takes care of the phones, and we thank you for making a point to listen in today. Before we get to today's topic, which we're excited about, because we're going to hear one man's miraculous journey into the heart of the city. The book's called Chasing God, and it's a fascinating story, and we'll get to that. But I want to tell about, just to mention, tomorrow on the broadcast... We'll be talking with Joe Avila from Angel Tree, from Prison Fellowship. We're going to talk about Angel Tree. We're in the midst of a partnership with Angel Tree. You know, there are thousands of children who have a parent, or sometimes two, that are incarcerated. 2.7 million, in fact, in America. It averages out to about one every 28, school-age children.
Unbelievable.
And for those... Angel Tree works through churches and volunteers to take care of making sure these children get a gift. They get a note from mom or dad, they get a gift, and they also get the gospel. And there's some really amazing stories that have taken place there, and we're inviting you to partner with us in Angel Tree to make sure that every child who wants to get connected, every parent who wants to get connected with their child at Christmas has that opportunity. So we're asking for your help and your involvement, and I'll just give you a little update in just a minute. But I thought you'd like to listen to this.
My dad's in prison, and I haven't seen him in a long time.
And so we walk up to the door, and I knocked on it.
My kids had toys.
One little boy just was thrilled with his gift of a fishing pole.
When I was incarcerated, my children felt like Daddy left them.
God used Angel Tree to get me closer to him.
One little girl said, "Tell my daddy I don't hate him anymore."
Hi, Dad, I miss you, and I hope you miss me.
Then I said, "Oh, Lord, there really is someone that cares for us."
Volunteers in churches purchase and deliver the Christmas gifts, but by themselves they wouldn't be able to connect with all the incarcerated parents or get the names and locations of their children. So it's gifts that help make this program possible, and so we're asking for your help today. If you're willing to make a gift, a contribution to Angel Tree, you can do that online. $73.50 will help reach six kids, or $12.25 for one, whatever you can do. You can go to our website, myfaithradio.com, to make a contribution to that, myfaithradio.com, and be a part of industry/events. I think we've got it listed under events at the moment. Already 35 kids been supported, and we'd like to see hundreds more. So thank you in advance for being part of our Angel Tree campaign. We're excited about that. It's the right thing to do. Well, we want to hear a story about... But a man who left an abusive home in Taiwan and discovered both the American dream and his French bride. But then a dramatic event took place before his very eyes and prompted him to rethink his future and his calling. And we're going to hear the story on today's Connecting Faith. I want to welcome to the broadcast Roger Wong, who serves as pastor of San Francisco Worship Center and is the founder and executive director of City Impact Ministries San Francisco. And together with his wife, Maitai, is that? Maitai. I was close. Yeah. Maitai. All right. So Maitai, they've got a ministry in the city's Tenderloin district, and he and his wife have four children and 16 grandchildren now. Is that still the right number?
Yes, that is the right number so far.
So far, yes. And hoping for more. Roger, welcome to Connecting Faith. It's good to have you on with us.
Well, good morning, Neil. Thank you for having me on your show, and it's good to be here with you.
We're going to talk about the book that you've written called Chasing God. The subtitle is One Man's Miraculous Journey into the Heart of the City. And let me just mention, we do have, I think, four copies that we'll give away today, and we'd love to do that this hour if you'd like to just call in and at least register your name and contact information, or if you have a question for us, you're welcome to join in the conversation as well. So Roger's story is an amazing story, and They founded a ministry to the poor and homeless in San Francisco's most impoverished district. It's called the Tenderloin. And, Roger, let's start with that, because as I read the story, the Tenderloin district of San Francisco, there doesn't seem to be much tender about it. Give us a little background.
Okay, well, Tenderloin district is one of the 12 districts in the city of San Francisco, and it's in the city, and it has 37,000 people within 50 city blocks, and they have 586 buildings, and in addition to that, we have approximately 6,000 to 8,000 homeless population, and a good portion of them come from the nearby inner cities, such as Richmond City, Oakland, East Palo Alto. They congregate in the Tenderloin District because in here they get everything, legally or illegal. And so it's a very it's a highest crime and the most dense population place in the city of San Francisco. We have two major crimes every hour. And, you know, and just a few blocks away, we are also connected to a very, it's a tourist attraction. Some of the largest shopping malls are nearby. So it's just a very busy place with all kinds of activities.
Roger, you are, and you can tell as much of your story as you like, I guess, but in an abusive childhood and coming from Taiwan to San Francisco, you were, you know, as you kind of got out on your own, you were in the, luxury hotel industry, wife and family. But I'm interested in how God sort of moved you to kind of move away from that that business career into this ministry, which has really grown amazingly.
Well, I was born and raised in Taipei, Taiwan, and growing up, I was in a very abusive family. My dad would beat us up physically, and of course, there was also lots of verbal abuse. And at age 15, he was working for China Airlines. And when they transferred him from Taipei to San Francisco, the whole family came. So we landed here in 1970. I was 15 years of age. And, of course, the abuse continues. And so at age 17, I left home all by myself. Didn't have any place to go. I was actually out on the streets in some of the neighborhoods. But I was working in the restaurant business. And fast forward to age 27. By now, I was working as auditors for hotels. And one day, I went home for just a short break. I turned the TV on, and there was a TV evangelist preaching about the love of God. And within 5 to 10 minutes, I came to know the Lord right there in my living room. I was very emotional. And from that moment on, I realized that there was something else that can change the course of my destiny, my journey. And again, because I've always been a loner, I didn't know what to do. So I just I read the Bible several times over. And of course, my wife came to know the Lord the year before through the same TV evangelist. So it was just basically us reading, praying for each other, and that's kind of how this whole journey came about.
Tell me a little bit about maybe a bit more of that story, because your wife is French. You met her, and she sounds like an absolutely wonderful lady. And did you were you interested in her faith journey, or did you just kind of ignore that, or think it was just something that she's into?
Well, actually, I was going to a grocery store to get a soft drink, and there was a vehicle that came right behind me, and so I just turned around and saw her, sitting at the passenger seat, smiling at me. And I just walk up to her, talk to her for a little bit, got her phone number, and call her up 2 hours later and show up in front of her house about 3 hours later. And basically that's kind of how we started our relationship. And she was definitely in shock. She opened the door. There I was. And I said, well, I'm here to take you out. And she said, I don't even know you. I said, yeah, you did. You gave me your phone number. So we kind of started like that. And then I would, you know, then we got married. And then it was years later, we both came to know the Lord through the TV evangelist.
You, you know, in that process, you were continuing to, we're going to take a short break because we want to get into some of the miraculous journey that you've had and allow Roger to keep telling his story. Roger Wong serves as the founder and executive development director of City Impact Ministries San Francisco, and he has got an amazing story written about it in the book called Chasing God, One Man's Miraculous Journey into the Heart of the City, and we'll find out about the great work they're doing and invite you to join the conversation as well. If you like a copy of Roger's book, you can be one of several that we've got to give away today. Just give us a call at 877-93-FAITH, and here's your contact information. We'll do a little drawing for that here at the end of the hour, 877-933-2484. More with Roger Wong in a moment.
It's been the bestseller since the printing press was invented. Controversial for centuries, history can't ignore the message of the Bible. If you're looking to go deeper in your study of God's work, stop by our website this month for a chance to win a free MacArthur Study Bible, a great resource featuring more than 20,000 study notes stretching from Genesis to Revelation, compiled by Dr. John MacArthur. Start a deeper walk of faith today when you visit myfaithradio.com and search Bible study.
Just about everybody and everything seems to be on Facebook now.
But in the midst of the soda companies, celebrities, and clothing stores, find an online community built on encouragement and faith.
My Faith Radio is on Facebook. Just type My Faith Radio into your Facebook search box.
Now you're one quick click away from faith resources, daily encouragement, and a chance to interact with your favorite Faith Radio hosts.
Visit us at facebook.com/myfaithradio.
At 17 past the hour, talking today with Roger Wong, but about his story. Roger left Taiwan, went out on his own about 17. He was an immigrant at about age 15, moved to San Francisco with his family. I was working in the hotel industry and married, started a family. God got a hold of his life at age 27, and ever since that time, he's God's been directing and moving, and as the subtitle of the book, Chasing God, says, One Man's Miraculous Journey into the Heart of the City. And Roger, you had been out on your own for a while. You kind of knew what it was to sort of be homeless, but was that what sort of attracted you to ministry in the Tenderloin District there in San Francisco? Talk about that initial connection.
Well, Neil, actually, no. I was a survivor. I left home because I was just tired of the daily the physical and the verbal abuse, and not only that, what caused me to want to walk away from home that particular day was because my dad wanted to hurt my mom, and I put a stop to it for the first time, but then I realized that I just didn't want to live in that kind of environment anymore. So it was right after I stopped him from hitting my mom, I said to the whole family, I said, I just don't want to be here anymore. Pack up and left that day, didn't have any place to go. So I did sleep in some of the doorways of the homes, and I got into the restaurant business and the hotel business. It was actually a place of refuge for me, because I get to eat for free. I get to sleep in the locker room. And so that's kind of how I get out of that the situation, and I must say that it was very hard to go from not having anything and then to trying to find a little studio, a little apartment, and then try to build from that spot. And so that's kind of how I started the whole thing.
But there was a kind of a tipping point, I guess, right, where you where God sort of got a hold of your heart and said, you know, I need to do something about the people that are living in this this crowded and difficult situation.
Yes. Well, after I came to know the Lord at age 27, I began to go away, 3 hours away up north from San Francisco, to a remote area to pray and fast and just ask God to restore me. I wasn't asking him for a ministry. I wasn't asking him for money or material things. I knew that I was very broken. I wanted to be restored. I didn't have that. When I look at the people all around me, in the hotel industry, in the city, I would look at people and I would say to myself, I wish I could be like that person. And so the first couple of years in my Christian walk, God had to restore me. He had to give me that ability to first forgive my parents and for being so broken and resentful. There was abandonment, there was rejection, you know, all that stuff. I wanted to be out of my system. And then about a year to 2 years later, it was a process. And as I got well, I went back and I prayed with them, led them to the Lord. And then I began to ask God. I said, God, I don't want to work as auditors for the hotels. I want to be a full-time worker for you. But then again, Neil, I didn't know what that meant. You know, I didn't go through the system. Usually you go to Bible college, you become a pastor, then you identify a destination, then you raise money, then you go. But I just wanted to serve him. And so anyway, there was a brand new hotel that opened up right here in the Tenderloin District. Someone came from Asia, bought an entire block and built a 5-star hotel. And I was fortunate to be hired as one of the auditors in the hotel. And one day when I got off work, I had parked my car right there on Turk Street in the Tenderloin. And I noticed I had a flat tire, so I called for the tow truck. But in the 20 minutes waiting time, I noticed that a boy was being harassed by a bunch of older kids. And I wanted to help him. I wanted to rescue him, but I didn't. Eventually, I drove away. And from that spot to my home, it was 15 minutes or 20 minutes ride. God spoke to me. He said, what if that was your son? What will you do? And I said, if that was my son, I would have jumped out of my car to rescue him. And God said this to me. He said, for me, they're all the same. So when I got home, I was very emotional. And I shared with my wife, and she was very emotional. I basically just said, I think God spoke to me. And I told her about the situation. We wept. We prayed. The following day, we made 50 sandwiches. I brought them to the Tenderloin, gave them to the homeless, and that was 29 years ago.
There are still many children in that area. You talked about, I think earlier, about 6,000 to 8,000 homeless or so that kind of congregate in that area. But they're also, it's overcrowded, many children, and many children without adult supervision a lot of the time, too. Talk about kind of the makeup of that area and the kind of ministry you're doing.
Well, you know, when I went there the first day, I didn't know what to do. So, of course, my first reaction was to minister to the homeless. Of course, having 50 sandwiches, I attracted them very quickly. Now, if you just drive by the inner city of San Francisco, all you see is the drug dealers and pushers and users and homeless population. You don't see anybody else. And so after being there for a few weeks ministering to the homeless, and one day I saw a bunch of young kids. These were Southeast Asian kids. They ran into this high-rise building. I was in shock. I didn't know there were families like that living there. And so I chased after them, got into the building, and I couldn't find them. So I just went to the first door. I knocked on the door. There was a little girl that opened the door. And I let myself in, walk into the little studio. It was a family of about 15 people sitting on the floor. And so I shared the love of God with them. And it was a Cambodian family. So from that moment on, I realized, my goodness, there's another a group of subculture that live in this neighborhood. And I came to know that we have about 4,000 kids under the age of 18 live in this neighborhood. So that's when I started the kids ministry, the youth ministry, you know, as well as the homeless ministry.
These, many times are what they don't necessarily have education opportunities, right? Or there's any number of issues that they face, and certainly with the influence of drugs in the area, I'm sure that they're always almost being harassed too, aren't they?
Yeah, very much so. I would get off work. I was working as an auditor for two major hotels, so I will work in one from 11 to 7 in the morning and then go home and then work from 9 to 5 p.m. So I work very, very, quite a few hours. But when I would get off 7 o'clock in the morning, I would drive by the Tenderloin and I would see these kids, you know, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning waiting in line to get on the school bus. And so as I look into it a little more, I realize that these kids, thousands of kids were being bused to 40-ish public schools around the city. But, you know, there were times I would be sitting in a car looking at these little kids and said to myself, there is no neighborhood anywhere in the city that would allow these kids to stay standing in line waiting with, you know, drugs dealers and pushers and just all kinds of stuff going on. And that's when I said, we need to do something about these kids. That's when we started a Christian elementary school.
You've said that phrase a time or two over your 30 years of ministry, haven't you? We need to do something about this?
Yes. You know, whenever we see a situation that I just realize that we need to do something about that. And, you know, I didn't come from a church background. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And I didn't even have any training. I was just an auditor. And I had some exposure to a regular church service. So everything was difficult for me to start with, such as rescue mission, elementary school, food bank, volunteer center. But I know that we needed to do that if we wanted to reach this community.
We're going to hear more from Roger Wong here, more of his story, and talk about some lessons, some things that we can apply as well as we hear with the talk with Roger Wong. His book is called Chasing God, One Man's Miraculous Journey into the Heart of the City, and it's about working in the crowded Tenderloin district of San Francisco, working with the poor, the homeless, impoverished, and he has a great ministry called the City Impact Ministries of San Francisco. He's also a pastor now of San Francisco Worship Center. He and his wife have 4 children and 16 grandchildren, and he has a great ministry and love for the outreach, and we're going to hear more from Roger in a moment. And I want to ask him some questions about, you know, having been an auditor, a business auditor, and he knows the importance of balance sheets, and he's in a faith ministry where there's been many times where there's not much on the other side of the balanced ledger. We'll find out about how that works. Also want to get his perspective as he talks a little bit about fasting and prayer, because that's been a key part of the ministry. Do have some copies of the book to give away. I'd like to join us. It'd be a great read for you here this Christmas season. You'd be challenged by it. If you want to find out more about the ministry too, you can go to their website, sfcityimpact.com. So for San Francisco, sfcityimpact.com. More with Roger Wong in a moment. You'd like to join us, you can call us at 877-933-2484. You're listening to Connecting Faith. Today we're hearing the story of Roger Wong. He serves as pastor of San Francisco Worship Center and founder of City Impact Ministries San Francisco, and together with his wife, have ministered in the city's Tenderloin District for nearly 30 years, providing food, shelter, education, and job training to thousands in response to God's call in their lives. He's written about it in his book called Chasing God, One Man's Miraculous Journey into the Heart of the City. And Roger, as you've gotten started, started with making some sandwiches, taking care of homeless, and then out of that, different things developed. All of this happened while you still had your day job or your night job or both. Talk about some of the miracles in terms of resources, and when you saw a need, you and your wife would just pray about it, and you'd just kind of go ahead.
Yes. Once again, we were not connected to anyone, any church, any denomination, and once we were convinced that this was the work that God entrusted into our hands, just to tell people about God, the love of God, and by then we had prayed and fast quite a bit. Now, Neil, I have to say this, and I want to make it very clear. We're not any more spiritual than anyone else. It's just that we didn't have any resources. We didn't have anyone we can just go to. And we were very desperate. Also, to make us more desperate, we quit all of our jobs. We just walked into the Tenderloin and knocking on doors, and whenever we needed something, we simply prayed and fasted and God and asked God to help us, and He has provided every time. So that's kind of how we operated in the very beginning of our work, just calling on Him, asking Him to provide for us, whether it's a storefront building we needed it, or workers, or open the doors of some of the high-rise buildings so we're able to go in and minister to the families. He's done it over and over.
You talk a lot about fasting, and maybe we should just take a moment to talk about, I think people are always, not that many people probably do fast, but how did that develop for you? And, you are honest about some of the experiences that it wasn't easy, and on several occasions you went for many days. Those can be really taxing, difficult times.
As I said, when we came to know the Lord through the TV evangelist, my wife and I, we had such a drastic experience with God. Through that moment, just how we felt in our hearts and our spirits that, my goodness, are you telling me that there's actually a way out of this, a way out of this miserable life, just going to work and come home, and then, and I'm not saying it's all bad, it's just we wanted to do something more. There was something inside of us. So as we begin to read the Word of God, we realize how whenever someone in the Bible wanted to get out of their difficult situation or impossible situation, that they will fast and pray before the living God. It's almost dedicating themselves and say, I'm not going anywhere until you do something about this. So it's in that we felt like we needed to do something just like that. And it's not even a format or a method. I don't look forward to those times. It's not a good time for me. I love to eat, but I wanted God to do something, and so that's when we go to Him with prayer and fasting.
And I know
Him to help us.
One of the stories you talk about is dealing with the mayor and the political system. I mean, you've kind of run up against a brick wall there. Maybe just tell a little bit about that story and the impact, the changes that have taken place since then.
Sure. After serving in the Tenderloin for a while, so the kids, the family, the homeless, and I began to look into the situations, and I realized that the community is actually controlled by very few individuals. they didn't really care, you know, about some of the things. For example, the liquor license. We as a Tenderloin, we are allowed to have only 27. But at the time, they were issuing 43rd license, liquor license. So they didn't care about the law. And it was very dirty, the whole area. The park, the only park in the Tenderloin, supposed to be used for the family and the kids, and yet they allowed people to go in there selling drugs, and there was no supervision. And then, of course, they continued to open up a bunch of illicit establishments. You know, there was just no control, and yet there was so much money going into the Tenderloin to try to help the community, but on the other hand, we just let it go wild. So we just believe that we needed to do something, and so we made up our mind that we're going to go in front of the City Hall building and stage a hunger strike. So we did that. I just picked up a chair, walked in front of the City Hall, and sat there for the next 33 days and 32 nights. And asked that the city will change these things. We had asked them to do five things. Stop issuing liquor license, clean out the park, put spikes around the edges of the park so the homeless won't be sitting there throughout the day. And we need a monitor for the portable toilet. People will go in there and shoot up and do all kinds of stuff. And then to put a stop to the a new established sexual oriented businesses, and at the end of the day, the city say yes to all that,
which is qualifies, I think, under the subtitle of miraculous journey, because that seems pretty unlikely.
Yes.
Talking with Roger Wong today, who is founder and executive development director of City Impact Ministries San Francisco. He serves as pastor of the San Francisco Worship Center. Roger, you were an auditor. You were a businessman for many years. You know the importance of balance sheets. So how difficult was it to when you had obligations with no resources? And maybe are there some lessons that we could learn from what you've experienced?
Well, going into an environment like that, we really didn't have anyone to call to, anyone to help us. It was just my wife and I praying together, believing in the scripture when it says, when two or more will gather in the name of Jesus, whatever we ask for, whatever we wish for, it will be given to us in his name. So, you know, Neil, we just apply that. We don't use it as a formula. We don't use it as a way to get God to react because, you know, it's a good thing to do. We just believe in faith. This is what we need, and God is able to come through, and let's just agree and pray. And if he doesn't come through tomorrow, we'll continue the way, maybe next week. We stuck around whenever we ask God to do something. And he came through every time, and we just he will supply whatever it is, a storefront building, a building that we needed to purchase, a bread and a milk and monetary. It's just one of those things that he just came through.
Roger, is there you've worked in the Tenderloin District now for many years, several decades, and working in the growing the ministry, the City Impact Ministry, but just thinking that there are probably, persistent challenges that you have to overcome. I'm wondering what those are. I mean, does it always come down to resources, or is it a matter of sort of getting those few people that should care about the city to care about it, or is it volunteers, or what are the maybe the obstacles that you keep running up against?
Today, 29 years later, with just a simple faith of going door to door, telling people about the love of God, we now have an elementary school with 125 students. We have San Francisco Rescue Mission Food Bank, giving out food and groceries to thousands of residents and homeless throughout the week. We have Rescue Mission dining room for the homeless. We have a cafe in the morning, and we provide lunch for the students as well. In addition to that, we have volunteer center that we're taking roughly 6,000 to 7,000 yearly. For example, on Thanksgiving Day, we had over 1,000 people that came and delivered 7,000 hot meals, and we were able to have a street, a lunch and a grocery giveaway to the poor. So I would say, to answer your question, what would be the biggest struggle is that as much as we have been blessed in some ways, the volunteers, the food, you know, all the good things that God has given to us, we need to stay true. We're constantly reminding ourselves, let us not forget why we came here. We came here to serve. We didn't come here to have a title, to be a big shot, and to live a good life. We need to stay true that there's always someone who's hurting behind these apartment buildings. There's always a homeless somewhere out on the streets that needs a helping hand. So we remind ourselves, we have to stay true to the calling. That is to stay low, work hard, keep on serving.
Is there a time or two when you realize that, yes, we're doing, there's some great work being done, but there's so much more that could be done? Are you able to sort of keep a kingdom, maybe a long-term perspective, and say, yes, we're doing what we can?
We continue to see how God has, he brings people to us. Every week we have new volunteers, another church that want to come by. And, you know, Neil, in the beginning, we focused on just the tenderloin because it has such a great need. But now in the last few years, we begin to see something different. The people who come to help us from the nearby cities in the Bay Area, they have gotten so much more out of it. They will go back to their own city, such as Menlo Park and Richmond and Oakland, Dublin, Palo Alto, and they begin to do something within their own community. So it's almost a twofold. They come to help, they get excited, and then go back to their own cities and begin to do something great in their own community.
We're going to talk more with Roger Wong in just a moment. He is founder and executive director of City Impact Ministries of San Francisco. You can find out more about their great work at sfcityimpact.com, sfcityimpact.com. Roger's recounted his story in the book called Chasing God, One Man's Miraculous Journey in the Heart of the City. And it's published by David C. Cook. We've got some copies of it to give away. If you'd like to join in the conversation today, it's 877-93-FAITH. If you'd like to just sign up and be registered for a copy of the book, it's 877-933-2484, or you can always connect with us online, myfaithradio.com, and then you can go to the Connecting Faith show page, and there's an email link there, and we'll talk more with Roger Wong in a moment.
Hi, I'm Dick Whitmer, General Manager of Faith Radio. You and I both know that living for Jesus is a lifelong journey. And we're committed to helping you connect faith to life with access when you need it. And to help you keep your faith strong throughout the day, we'd like to send you a Live by Faith wristband. It's free. Wear it each day as a reminder that you're on a journey of faith. If you would like your free wristband, visit myfaithradio.com to request yours. We'll get it out to you as soon as possible.
Real encouragement for an active walk of faith. Podcast audio of today's programs on Faith Radio in case you missed the show. The very latest on conferences and events in your area. It's all in one place and delivered right to your inbox from Faith Radio when you subscribe by email to myfaithradio.com. Head to myfaithradio.com and enter your email address in the subscribe box right at the top of the page, helping you connect faith to life every day at myfaithradio.com.
Well, we're at 47 past the hour and talking today with Roger Wong, who serves as pastor of San Francisco Worship Center and the founder and executive development director of City Impact Ministries San Francisco. It's a ministry that for now 29 years has been providing for real needs for the poor, the homeless, in education, and just a variety of ministries taking place. In the book that he's told his story is called Chasing God, One Man's Miraculous Journey into the Heart of the City. And Roger, you mentioned here just before the break that there are other churches that have started to partner with you. I know that that was something that developed. It's, but as people heard about your work, there were some, a little bit more networking taking place. Just maybe tell a story or two about that. And maybe there's a lesson for us as well that the value of partnering with an urban ministry like yours.
Well, Neil, it is impossible for us to continue to want to reach more people in the Tenderloin, the 37,000 people, the 6,000 to 8,000 homeless. And sometimes it's more than just feeding them, giving them groceries, and we need capable folks that can come and to minister to them. To help us teach the kids, to help us feed the homeless, and then have conversation with them. That, I find, is the most relevant things that we can do in the city of San Francisco. Almost all of them are very isolated. No one pays attention to them. And if you drive through or walk through, it can be a very scary environment. And it is. After all these years, I don't even walk slow. I walk very fast unless I'm praying for somebody. I don't linger. I just keep on moving to my destination. So I think the work here, the City Impact, has grown so much because of the thousands of volunteers and hundreds of them throughout the month that will come and they will help us, the school. They will go into the rescue mission and sit with the homeless and converse with them. We have doctors and nurses and medical students that will come to the medical center, the dental office, and to help them one life at a time. And as we create a personal relationship with them, they get well. There's a church right now in the city of San Francisco, and they have been sending 30, 40 of their church members to come to the Tenderloin to help us with a building. And just recently I found out that they have taken anywhere from 15 to 20 of the Tenderloin residents to their church services and continue to pour into them. To me, that is what life is all about. It's about investing in that one person's life.
I know that, in fact, I had a little notice from Francis Chan who said that he's been working with you and encouraging people to adopt a building, right? Or that there's it's not just being part of the ministry, but sort of really putting roots down, I guess, in terms of caring for an entire building or in part of the community.
Yes, very much so. I have to say this: San Francisco. I don't know about anywhere else, but here, living here for the last 42 years, it is very territorial. And we want our streets, we want our share, we want people to know that this is about me. And it's hard to grow God's work when we become so territorial and we want to control a certain part of the city. And that's what this book is about, Chasing God. When we put this together, I wanted to make sure that this is not about accomplishment. It's not about that, Roger is this person that only God can do. I want the readers to read into it and say to themselves, my goodness, how can I get out of my situation? How can I get out of this impossible environment that I'm in? And if they can just read the book and begin to pray to the living God, and God will lift them out of that area, that level, and then give them a new journey, a new purpose. And that's what we have been doing. We want all the churches to come and work together as a family of God and reach these people and take them to your church. Minister to them. We don't care. We're not here to build a church. We're here to help them one life at a time. And if they can do a better job, let them do it. All right, we're just a doorman. We're just opening the doors and allow them to come and be a part of this blessing. And you know what? In many ways, I find that these church folks from other other parts of the cities, they're more equipped than we are. We're just a spiritual doorman.
Roger, let's take a call. We got a listener in line two, anonymous, that they're working on a church plant. Would like some advice about maybe learning some lessons from what you've done. Go ahead. You're on with Roger Wong.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I am a part of a church plant, a new church that's really just started out. We're very small. We have about 50 people, and we have had the opportunity to start ministering to Korean refugees here in the Twin Cities or in East St. Paul, and I'm overwhelmed by what I'm seeing and the poverty and what's happening. And I guess my I have this vision of doing all the things that you talk about, and that makes me excited to listen to this. But I guess right now what I'm seeing is that the schools, I don't understand why the schools aren't recognizing that some of my children aren't they're in third grade and they're reading at a kindergarten level, and they've been here the whole time. So, and I'm not understanding why there's not programs in place at schools to recognize some of the things that, like the neglect that's going on in the homes. And am I making sense?
Sure. Yeah, Roger. Any advice that maybe some principles, some lessons?
Neil, do you think you can rephrase the question for me?
Sure. Just she's part of a new church plant and has been working with the refugee group, and just seeing some the real needs, particularly I guess as it relates to school, that the kids, that even though they've been here for several years, aren't reading very well, and just doesn't seem like schools are really making an effort or helping them out as much as they could. I think she's just wondering, are there some things that they could do as a new church plant?
I think as a new church plant, the first thing, if you want to reach the community, I can sense that you are in a very, that you're in a poor district. Make sure that the church that you have, even though you have 50 people, which I think is a pretty good sized church, according to San Francisco standard, start going out now before you settle down much more, because we have a tendency to stay inside the building and begin to grow the church, but that's not the church. The church is about the poor. I would recommend that you speak to the 50 members of your church and get them to go into the public school and help tutor the kids. Yeah. And then maybe send some other ones to the streets and feed the homeless. Let it be an ongoing church that is always looking out. And you'd be amazed. Once people hear about your reputation, about serving in a public school, reaching the homeless, giving food to the homeless, and visiting the poor families, the churches around your area will begin to come out and be a part of this exciting work. Remember, it's about reaching that one person that would excite people. It's not about building the church.
Roger, how's your faith maybe grown or changed over these 30 years of ministry? Is there one area that just you look back and say, I'm completely different in this respect?
I can sit still. I do not focus too much on my religious services. I feel like I already know way too much. I have so much. I just wanted to go and tell somebody and share with them and be with them. And so over the years, I realized the time is short. I came here when I was 15. I'm now 57. My goodness, where did the time go? And I just can't seem to chase them fast enough. I wanted to be able to connect with them, to help them, whatever way I can, just try to reach the one person at a time. So that's what has changed me. I don't take time lightly. I take time that we have this very hour, next hour, very seriously.
Roger, thank you for taking some time with us just to share a bit about your story and encourage us to do our own pursuit of chasing God. That's the title of the book, One Man's Miraculous Journey into the Heart of the City. And that's from David C. Cook. And Roger is the founder and executive development director of City Impact Ministries San Francisco. You can find out more about their work online, SF for San Francisco, sfcityimpact.com, sfcityimpact.com. Roger, blessings to you as you continue to minister. And I know that you got your wife and family working with you too, which I know is a great joy that you can be serving the Lord together as a family.
Well, thank you very much for having me on your show. And it's definitely a blessing to have people like you that continue to bring forth the good news. So that brings hope to many, many thousands of people. Thank you.
Roger Wong joining us today. Check out their work at sfcityimpact.com, and we'll have a link up, of course, on our website as well. And if you want to pass the broadcast along, if you missed part of it or want to pass it on to a friend, you can just go to our website at myfaithradio.com, and we put the podcast up and get the archives of other shows as well, and you can pass them on to a friend. Join us tomorrow as we talk Angel Tree with the Prison Fellowship. It'll be a great hour, and I hope that you can be a part of it then. And we'll see you tomorrow here on Connecting Faith.